Okay, so the advice that I would give to anybody with a visual impairment or who is blind in terms of career aspirations and career goals is, first and foremost, and always, is to start with a positive attitude. Not just an attitude of complacency, but an attitude of reflection and an attitude of joy, an attitude of thanksgiving, gratefulness, and just a go-getter, you know, mindset. Like, nothing can stop you. There's nobody that's gonna take your place or do what you can do. If the assignment and the desire was first put in your heart to do, then get it done. You know, there's no excuses. Nobody else is gonna do what you do as good as you can do it because you were designed for the task and for the journey. So definitely don't stop. Don't turn around, don't look back. Go forward, pursue your dreams, pursue your goals. And just know that everything in your heart is set, predetermined, and is for you, and it's for you, it's for no one else. So take it and run with it and have a good time.
Welcome to Eyes and Lows, the podcast where we shine a light on mental health in the blind, low vision, and print impaired community. Bringing in experts, real stories, valuable insight, meaningful conversation, and everything in between. Join us as we explore more deeply and freely the highs and lows of a wide range of abilities, navigating life after diagnosis, and building resilience. I'm your host, Brittany McLemore, Executive Director with Georgia Radio Reading Service. We have with us today Ashley Ennis. Ashley, we're so thrilled to have you today. Why don't you tell everyone a little more about yourself and the work that you do?
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ashley Ennis, and I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised here in Lithonia, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. I currently reside in Augusta, Georgia, right down the road, and my diagnosis has been retinopathy of prematurity, but it's nothing new to me. I've had it since I was a little child. I was actually born premature, so, you know, in order to save my life, they kind of pumped a little oxygen, so that created scar tissue in my eyes, but it's definitely a blessing to be alive and be here with you today. So, and what I do a couple of different things. I'm an entrepreneur, a doctorate student, an artist, a musician. Anything in the creative field is where you can find me. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay, so we have a lot to unpack here. That was a lot. Okay, so first, tell me again your diagnosis and more about that.
Okay, so pretty much what I have is something called retinopathy of prematurity. It's known as ROP. And to break it down so you can understand how it affects me on a daily basis, I cannot see out of my right eye. So it's a whole bunch of scar tissue. When the doctor showed me the actual images of my eyes, I was so amazed that I could really see anything at all. So the right eye is nothing but scar tissue. The left eye is minimal vision, but I can't see well enough to drive, you know, which is okay because they're actually working on technology which will allow blind people one day to maybe be able to drive. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. But so that's the state of my, that's my diagnosis, but that's not my condition because a diagnosis and a condition are two different things. So that's important to kind of remember when you're considering the blind, visually impaired, and disabled community. Condition and diagnosis are two separate different things because you are able to control how you, just the kind of attitude you have about yourself and about the world around you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you said that you're from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
What part of Brooklyn?
Okay, so born in Brooklyn, New York. My people are, you know, on Flatbush Avenue. That's where we be at sometimes. So, you know, I go see my sister in Brooklyn. We be like, hey, what's up? You know, family.
Okay.
I love the, Brooklyn is off the, it's a hard, you know, it's fun, but you got to kind of have a certain character to yourself and not just kind of, it's not the South, so it's a complete.
Right, you got to take it in doses.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Visit in the summer when it's nice.
Right. Right, go eat some good food and
right.
Come back. Okay, I understand. I'm from East New York, so.
Okay, cool,
yeah,
cool.
Okay, good, fellas.
Well, my Brooklyn parents are from the islands, though, you know, that we from Barbados. So.
Yeah, I'm from the island by association. That's what I tell people. all the time. Just by association, not for real, but you know.
It's all good.
Okay, so that's great. And you said that you're a doctoral student. Yes. What are you getting your degree in?
Okay, so I'm currently pursuing a doctorate of ministry at South University. At the end of the day, I just really want to be a missionary, travel, you know, tell people about Christ and have some fun with that. You know, wherever God leads me is where I'm willing to go. And wow. I definitely see international ministry as something that's a part of my life. You know, I have a lot of desires in that area, so I'm not going to be stateside for too long. Whenever he gives me the okay, I'm gone. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what led you to wanting to get this degree?
Okay, so honestly, just in a basic nutshell, God led me here. Because nobody goes to college. I went to Savannah State University. You know how you graduate high school? You know that college is the next step. It's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Because people that's the next step. So I went to Savannah State. I got a bachelor's in art. I started off as an English major, but God led me into the field of creative expression, right? Mm-hmm. Music, art, literature, all those different things. And then I kind of followed that path. Art is who I am, but at the end of the day, I do want to press into the field of not religion necessarily, but ministry. So the doctorate will really help me in that area and bring in the fields of disability, blindness, and missions all into one conglomerate. And, you know, we'll see where it takes us.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty dope. I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with, I guess, navigating your diagnosis, right? What was your experience like going to school, you know, growing up in school, high school, going to college?
Okay, so I really just tried to fake it. You know how you'd be like, well, nothing's really wrong with me. I kind of downplayed it for the most part. It was like, well, you kind of just do the best you can. You learn to listen well because you can't see that well. So you kind of, but everybody else knows you can't. I remember like having a big old bifocals in class. And then when I finally got some contact lenses, I was so happy. I was like, yes, I was so excited. So, you know, just I wouldn't necessarily say bullying, but just knowing that you're different in some regard takes you to a different, you know, you're just kind of aware of yourself. So sometimes self-awareness could be a bad thing if you're too caught up in who you are. So like just giving you a little bit of background, I said I'm a musician. I didn't know I was a musician, but I remember being in class and just completely tuning the teacher out, but writing just, I guess, my journaling in class and not really paying attention. But I wrote it in stanzas as if it was music. I just always remember that. It was 5 lines and 4 spaces. I used to write from the bottom of the page to the top, completely oblivious to what's going on around me, but I was just writing and writing and writing. And, you know, that was my high school experience. I switched schools. I used to go to Southwest DeKalb. Mm-hmm. I was in the gifted program. But of course, if you're not in a state of mind to be gifted and see yourself as brilliant and having a great capacity to learn and be, you know, have a certain level of ingenuity, you kind of fall back. So in 10th grade, I switched over to Lithonia High School, and it was cool. It was a great experience. And then, you know, so I didn't really live up to my full capacity as I could have been. But at the end of the day, God still positions you strategically where he wants you, no matter what's going on. So that's my high school experience. Mm-hmm. And elementary was kind of cool because, you know, it is what it is. But as you grow and you become more aware of the things around you, your differences, and it's like, okay, this is something I might have to deal with. So.
Right. Okay. Well, I need you to give us a little taste of your music real quick.
Okay. Music. So, like I said, I'm a missionary at heart. Actually, I have a spoken word ministry called Flophetic. The essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Christ, talking about Revelation 19 and 10, you know, just speaking clearly. The essence of poetry is to give a clear witness for Christ. It's the heart, it's the music, it's the symmetry, the synergy, the symphony of song and light and the word and the verses, because everything is inspired from the Spirit. You know, nothing is of myself because God is the creator at the end of the day. That's what I ascribe to. Elohim, he is the creator in the beginning. So, you know, just going back to music. Let's see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was made flesh to resurrect in life anew. Yes, he died for me and you. Yes, he is the way, the truth, the life, the light. He gave me the witness of a transformed life, the witness of a transformed mind. I'm grabbing hold of eternal life, but let patience have its perfect work, that I might know my worth. a priceless jewel, a treasure, that I might dwell forever in your presence, giving you reverence, honor, and praise. Ancient of days, teach me to know your word and love your ways. Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. Pre-reach me. I want to testify, so nullify and crucify my flesh, Lord. Don't let it get the best of me, because yes, yes, I confess to be a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God. And if I was to die today and take my last breath, oh God, where would I be?
Wow.
Where would we be if we weren't asked to be here today? The invitation is so necessary. So
I love that. I love that. Do you perform at all anywhere?
What I'm asked to.
Okay.
And, you know, every moment is an opportunity to present, you know, the word. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
So how has, or, you know, do you remember a certain situation or time in your life where your faith has gotten you through, you know, a tough time, especially in reference to your diagnosis?
Okay, so I'll go back a couple of years ago when I had got this surgery. I was like, man, because, you know, a lot. Okay, so just the aspect of faith and disability and vision. So many times it's like, you're supposed to be healed. That's your, you know, proclamation to the world, right? Jesus healed, and, you know, that's what he does. That's, but at the same time, it's like in persevering with disability, you use your faith to trust and lean on God, because it's somebody that can't see. My faith walk is maybe depending on the love of others, which is the displayed love of Christ to me, to be like, follow me. I'm going to guide you through this path, this journey called life. And that's the faith aspect, to really depend on other people. Not that you're incapable. You do what you can in your own regard. But at the end of the day, you really do have to not be self-reliant, but God-reliant. So that's where the aspect of faith really comes into being guided and led by the love that's in other people and, you know, seeing the best in others. So
absolutely. And in that, you know, having to build community is important. So how do you build and cultivate community, especially in that regard of your faith?
Okay, so building community is as simple as having a conversation, being open to have a good meal, you know, break bread, and what do you like to eat? Let's go get some good food. You know, like building community is in music, it's in poetry, it's in dance, it's in song, it's in going to the beach, it's in, you know, going shopping, having a good time, you know. What's your favorite lipstick? You know, that's community, is like really paying attention to the heart and the character of people, because community is the heart of people. It's not necessarily economy and politics and, you know, the things that could kind of go over our head, when really what's the most important is what carries people in their heart. So that's what I would say. That's where you cultivate community, is really engage in the heart of people and the things that they might not talk about. But if you kind of feel something, you're like, are you okay? You know, is everything okay with you? Really engage in the person and focusing on them. Because so often, you know, in this crazy world, it's like nobody really has a time to just stop and be still and engage themselves and engage with each other. Because it's easy to just go, 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 go.
So how's your social life? Like, how do you, or yeah, how do you make friends? What do you do for fun?
Okay. So me, like I said, I love music. I love going to the beach. I'm always traveling. Mm-hmm. Just love meeting new people, you know, always on the go. If you meet them at the airport, if you meet them on the way to the local music store, if mm-hmm. you meet them, you know. I would say the local, I don't really drink coffee, so what do I drink? I drink smoothies. So there was this real nice vegan restaurant in Augusta. It just closed down. I was so hurt. But, you know, just chopping it up and being approachable and, you know, looking cute and stuff like that. So that's what we do.
Okay. Uh-huh. Do you have a close friends group?
Well, I would say my close friends group is really my church family.
Okay.
We branched off from, you know, campus ministry at Savannah State University. That was called Commission of Love Campus Ministry. And then we got into End Time Commission Church. And we're always moving and grooving and going different places. So right now, kind of that succinct group of people is in Savannah and Augusta and wherever else I'm going to be branching out to in the future. So
okay.
That's my close-knit community right there. And, of course, family here in Lithonia, Jersey, Philly, you know, wherever we find each other.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you know, this show is called Eyes and Lows. So why don't you share with us some of the highs that you've had over the last year and maybe a low?
Okay. So like I said in the beginning, I'm definitely an entrepreneur. And one of my eyes, well, I could just say it recently, it just happened like last week because we were able to, with the National Federation of the Blind, we were able to go into the halls of Congress and advocate for the rights of the blind concerning different initiatives and laws that really affect the, not just the national community, but the international community, and just, you know, making our voice and our presence known to be like, you know, we're here. This is what we need. This is, you know, what's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
I did recently become a sales director in Mary Kay after, you know, trying so long. You remain resilient. You stay persistent. And of course, the setbacks might have been, you know, the times when you do fail, you don't make it across the line. You have to keep trying and working at it again and just keep building and remaining loyal and committed to the process and the purpose. But, you know, at a certain point, if you keep trying hard enough, climbing hard enough, you know, going hard after your goals, you're eventually going to you're going to reach your goals. So I definitely want to just encourage everybody just to not give up. You know, if it seems impossible, it is possible. You just, you can't stop. You don't go back. And if you do go back, you keep going for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely, you know, highs and lows are definitely a part of life. And the valleys and the mountaintops, you know, you're still going to discover a part of yourself because even, for example, you know, school might not always go as planned. So you might, you know, have a couple setbacks, and but you meet people along the way that's going to be a part of your purpose. So don't even take, you know, setbacks or failures as something that's not supposed to happen, because things happen. You know, life isn't perfect. Things might go wrong. But even if you seek to see the beauty in every moment, then you'll be okay. So
I love that mentality. I think a lot of people can definitely benefit from changing their outlook. You know, like you said, things are going to happen.
Yep.
You can't stop them from happening, but it's how you go through things that determine how you go through them.
Yep.
I appreciate you sharing that. So what are some of those issues that you were fighting for, advocating for when you went?
Okay, so in D.C., we were fighting for website and accessibility access for people with, you know, visual impairments and people that are blind, you know, because everybody uses the internet, millions of Americans every day, but there's a small group of, you know, actually a large group of people that still need that access that are unable to because of various laws and lack of accountability and just the creation of the websites. So that was something that we kind of, you know, asked to, proposals could be put forth to kind of just hold the website and content developers accountable to making it adaptable for people that can't see. And then different initiatives, of course, you know, economy is always going to be a source of struggle or triumph. So we are definitely continuing to advocate for Social Security disability rights, you know, that we'll have a chance to not only, you know, receive from the system, but also be people that are able to put into the system and, you know, be viable contributors of, you know, I was going to say bankroll, because, you know, everybody receives a little bit of the pie. And then, of course, medical and accessibility rights for people that want to do, like, you know, in-home care and just be able to go through the process of diagnosis and disease in a manner that is, you know, conducive for just being able to maintain a normal life. Because let's say if you go to, like, I'm not dealing with dialysis or anything, but somebody that kind of shapes their whole life and they're not able to work and remain employed. So just proposing different initiatives that will help the medical devices be more accessible to people with visual impairments. So those are coming to some of the things that we talked about. And then also maintaining, you know, access to disability in education or education with disability in the different school systems and different things like that. And it was actually kind of funny because when I was in D.C., the people that came before us were from the DeKalb County Board of Education. And I was like, it's a small world. How do I get all the way in D.C. as people from DeKalb County is, you know, are talking about policies that affect students right here in the state of Georgia. I thought that was, you know, pretty interesting timing. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any changes in the near future?
Oh, definitely. There were a couple of political figures that said they would be willing to set forth and propose the bill. So you're never guaranteed till you see something written on the books. But there were definitely people that were supportive. And, you know, and we also have somebody that's there in office in D.C. representing us. Her name is Latifa Simon. She's a representative from the state of California. And she actually has a visual impairment. She's, you know, she's legally blind, so she's definitely going to make sure that she advocates for the rights of blind Americans, which is something that we definitely need representation for.
Absolutely. Well, that's great work that you're doing. Do you foresee yourself going further, I guess, in these endeavors as far as advocacy or even politics?
100% with advocacy, because, you know, there's nobody better talk about, you know, your situation than you, and definitely bringing other people along. So I definitely see it as my duty to bring others along as we go next year and continue to go in the future, because, you know, it gives people a sense of power and self-worth, and, you know, it takes the spotlight off of the assignment being for everybody else. You kind of have to take initiative and, you know, be forthcoming about yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you. You definitely have to be proactive and, you know, fight the good fight of faith. That's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I don't know about politics, but
but definitely advocacy.
Definitely advocacy. But you never kick anything out the door.
Right. So, mm-hmm. So when it comes to accessibility and equal opportunity, you believe, or rather, have you experienced any issues in terms of getting employment?
Well, so this is kind of funny, right? Because I had one job so far in my whole life. Well, two, I guess. I worked at Savannah Candy Kitchen in Savannah, Georgia. I was at work in a lemonade stand. The person just kind of liked me. They were like, "Hey, would you like to, you know, come on board?" I was like, "Sure." And then, so that was for a little time when I was in college, you know. Work and school and that level of discipline, and it definitely helps you align and be more productive. So that was my first stage. So I didn't really have any hindrances. And now that I'm actually a self-employed as an entrepreneur, it's great to say that I don't have any drawbacks in terms of employment, because I'm self-employed as, you know, as a director with Mary Kay. So I can set my own schedule, work my own hours, say this is what I want to cut. And you don't have a time, you don't have any time constraints. It's definitely a great opportunity. So I make it work for me, and I make it work for, you know, for me.
Yeah.
it's me. And I'm in control of that aspect. And that's something that, as somebody that's visually impaired and might not have access to other areas of employment, because I'm just going to be honest, as somebody that's creative and, you know, just has a creative capacity, I might not want to go into a field of vocational rehabilitation and, you know, all the quote unquote job aspects that they see people with disabilities being able to operate. I don't want to work at Goodwill. That's not my, you know, that's not my dream career. I don't want to be behind a typewriter or a computer or, you know, some things that might be cliche. Okay, this is what a blind person is supposed to do for work. That's not necessarily me. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to share my faith. And, you know, for me as an entrepreneur, Mary Kay just kind of fits in, and that's what I do. So it works.
Yeah.
So there are no barriers in that regard.
Did you find yourself being pigeonholed in that way, where you felt people sort of pushing you into those roles that, I guess, you know, historically or even stereotypically have been for the blind?
Well, I guess I could say it's definitely a stereotype, but I'm not a person that kind of fits into those molds. So even just as growing up as, you know, not always being an artist, but finding myself in the role of an artist, I never really took that on. So, I was going to be in a creative aspect either way it goes. So I never really was pigeonholed into anything, thankfully.
Okay.
Because I wasn't going to walk that route.
Right. So what was your transition like from the Savannah Candy Store to Mary Kay Sales?
Okay, so honestly, you know, Savannah Candy Kitchen is college and, you know, you kind of graduate and you develop. And we were actually doing, you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but, you know, here in the South, everybody loves the chicken and waffle dinners and the estate sale. We're trying to raise money for the church, right? That's just what it is. That's how I started. And, you know, people that I knew were a part of it. We just wanted to be able to give back to the community. We have a private school called Remnant Kingship Academy. We're like, we got to do something for the kids and for the local community. And it just so happened that Mary Kay, through our headship and our pastors, kind of fit the funding goal, and it provided the necessary money that we needed to build the music studio, build the recording studio, finish the school. So it was a win-win situation. And for me personally, coming into Mary Kay, I just wanted to help somebody, you know, earn their red jacket, just something simple. And I knew that it was a source of provision for the future for the kids. I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity, great people. So that's how I kind of was able to come into the mix and see that it could be something much more.
Yeah. Well, you seem to, you know, have so much light in you, and to be able to shed and spread that light to others. That's awesome. And we know that we don't always feel so great about ourselves, especially when we're going through certain situations.
100%.
Do you remember a time where you may have been, you know, at your lowest point in your life? And, you know, what was that like? What was that situation? And how did you seem to overcome it?
Okay, so like I said, high school was kind of interesting. So, you know, I would be kind of worried about what everybody else thought about me. So that was definitely a low point in my life. And I was just always writing. And from time to time, I'd be like, you know, I mean, I hear people talk about God, and I guess he might be real and whatever. So I just decided to try it. I was like, okay, well, if Jesus is real, he might be able to help me. So, you know, I just kind of prayed a little bit. But really, at the end of the day, what really helped me was finding community. And I know we were talking about community, because you can make a decision. You might want to change. You might want to have a more positive outlook on life. But you really can't do it without having a people-centered and a God-centered focus. So that's really what kind of brought me into a more positive mindset, was coming into campus ministry early in college as a freshman, is where I first kind of heard about it. It was, oh yeah, these people getting persecuted on campus. I'm like, I knew enough about, you know, the words, you know, that if persecution happens, then something must be going right. So I kind of met up with a campus ministry at Savannah State, Commission to Love, and that fellowship and body of people really kind of grew me into the person that I am today, and kind of broke those chains and barriers of a negative self-outlook and a self-perspective, and brought me into a God-centered focus that said, you know, you're worthy of love. Somebody, you know, if don't nobody else love you, you know that God do. So, you know, and then you understand that people really do love you, and come into a place of, you know, knowing who you are in the eyes of God really kind of helps. And community is definitely key for development and growth, and just being more aware of who you are in a positive regard. So community is the essence of growth. It's not just, you know, self-help and self-love. That goes a long way, but it's about people. You know, it's about people in love. That's one of our, you know, benchmarks with our company is, you know, people in love. Like, that's how you're going to develop into something beautiful, is with people. It's not a one-man show. It's not, nobody is an island at the end of the day.
Okay. Have you ever been in therapy?
Therapy, yes. Actually, okay. Therapy was at one summer when I was getting the training through Voc Rehab. I'm not going to name drop the counselor, but I think I remember her name, but I don't.
Yeah, don't.
But she was awesome. She just kind of helped me think about things. And there was one particular point, I'm going to kind of dive into what my mental diagnosis was, or, you know, just, so it was something called olfactory reference syndrome, right? And I just kind of had a perception that, you know, the way I smell was kind of affecting people. So that led into like social isolation and not wanting to be around people. But really, at the end of the day, I found out it was somebody else. You know, it might be different hygiene things, but if you take on a perception that there's something wrong with me, then you kind of internalize everything and make it about you. And, you know, you start shying away from social situations and hiding from people, you know, just crazy stuff. It'd be like, why are you doing this? You know, because it's like, you don't understand who you are at the end of the day. So anything can kind of trickle in and become a structured mindset and can kind of be the way that you operate your daily life. And just kind of something to also remember just here and now, like I said, high school was definitely a pivotal time as it is for most people. But there was this one particular point, I was going to art class and this guy was like, you never smile. You're always like, I'll never see you smile. But I remember in elementary school, people were like, you smile too much. So it's like, what happened between then and now and trickling back to now? It's like, you know, you have the right to be joyful and to be, you know, full of love. That's your, you know, that's who you are, then that's who you are. So not letting anybody take that away from you, even in your mindsets and perceptions of yourself and those around you.
I love that. And I know that, you know, with mental health, therapy is a little it's a little difficult to grasp for mm-hmm. some people. People shy away from the idea of seeing a therapist or, you know, what they call a shrink, mm-hmm. sitting on someone's couch, you know, because you feel as though something is, you know, wrong with you. You know, you're so much different from the rest of the world, but you tend to isolate more.
Yep.
So what would you say to someone who is dealing with, you know, some mental health issues, they're going through a rough time, a low time, but they don't necessarily trust the process of therapy?
Well, therapy might not be for everybody. I would say, honestly, what you can start with is self-expression. Sometimes you need an outlet, whether it's through writing or dance or poetry or singing. Like, there's always something that, because, like, you know, when you're talking to a therapist, you're obviously releasing something. So there's something in you that needs to be released. So even if you kind of have certain apprehensions about seeing a therapist, I would just say start by finding a positive outlet of release. Find what makes you happy, as long as it's not illegal, you know, just, you know, start there. It doesn't have to be like a crazy thing. If you like to write, if you like to travel, if you like to go to the beach, or if you just like to, you know, just be quiet sometimes, because quietness is okay too, because the world is so busy, you're constantly inundated with so much information, and just go outside and look at the stars, you know, do something that's going to take your mind off of your current situation, and then you might find a sense of gratitude for even what you think is overwhelming. Like, just take a moment to be grateful and start there. You know, gratefulness is a choice. And it's like, we can be like, I don't got this, I don't got that, I'm not where I want to be in life, oh my goodness, my life is just so bad. But really, is it really bad, or is it just your perception? So perception is everything. Like, kind of, maybe if you want to change that, change your lens. If you change your lens, you can change your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. That's the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you might want to change your lens, change your view, you know, change the position from where you're standing and begin to, you know, see something differently.
Looking at the glass half full instead of half empty.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Now, sometimes people, you know, friends, family, mm-hmm. Or strangers for that matter, they believe that when they're around someone with a disability of mm-hmm. sorts, or, you know, various abilities, mm-hmm. that they have to act differently or speak differently. Have you experienced that?
Yeah. So, like, you know, if somebody is visually impaired or somebody might be new around you, they kind of think they have to guide you around the whole block. And it's like, not necessarily. Like, it's okay. Like, I might ask for assistance, or, you know, if you're around a new environment, people might see, I don't use my cane as often as I should, but it's like, help is needed. But I know in a lot of people in the blind community, they're like, you know, allow that person to still be themselves or do for themselves what they can. Mm-hmm. And then if they need assistance, guide them in that manner, because you know, that's a matter of dignity and character and, you know, just being viable is being able to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And that's what people want to be able to express. So sometimes people do change it up. They kind of think they have to, you know, be your savior. But, you know, we're all walking the path together, so we can walk it together.
So you prefer just ask me if I need help or for you to say something.
Or if you see somebody, like, it depends on the situation. Like if it's, you know, if it's a dark alley, I'm like, oh my God, you know, just a dark room or something like that, you're going to need assistance. But for me personally, like if there's a lot of light around or it's a nice sunshiny day, we're good, you know, I might, if I got my heels on, I might trip on the sidewalk crack or something like that. But, you know, we keep it moving and we play it off a little bit. But assistance might be needed, like, you know, when the sun's going down. That's just for me personally. Mm-hmm. Lighting is everything. So even in my home and in cooking and, you know, making a cake or something, you'd be like, could you read the timer for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the temperature? Stuff like that.
So, okay. Do you often communicate that with people that are around you? Just, you know, hey, by the way, I don't need your help here. You know,
actually, I don't actually say that. Because, you know, you don't want to be like, well, disrespectful or rude, or you don't want to neglect the help either. So maybe even for me right now, because somebody that's kind of still coming into a place of finally accepting, maybe being able to use the cane or just being okay with not being able to see as good as everybody else, I kind of still need help in terms of being able to direct people and how to help me most effectively, that I'm not crippling myself or being too reliant on people. So that's actually something that I'm kind of learning to embrace currently. So
right.
Mm-hmm. Everything is a learning process.
It is. And it's interesting because, and I'll just let y'all know here, when I went and got Ashley from the lobby here today, it was an instinct, you know. I put out my arm just so that she can grab it, but she didn't ask me at all. She didn't ask me for my arm. She didn't ask me for assistance at all. And so I find myself just, you know, if you need me, let me know. And I think I said that, you know, just let me know what you need. So that's important. But I do know that there are some who, you know, needs extra assistance, might not know how to ask, or might not want to ask, because like you said, they might be crippling themselves. But, you know, as a sighted person, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or disrespect you in a way where, you know, you might feel I'm taking away your independence in some way. So would it be, what would you, I guess, like for someone who doesn't know you necessarily to do or say once they realize you are, you know, low vision, you have low vision?
Okay, so I'll use your example once again. You did exactly what you're supposed to do because you offered. So often what you see is people with disabilities or people that are sighted in engaging with people with disabilities, they might just kind of yoke them up and grab them by the arm and be like, yeah, follow me, come with me, I'm taking you across the street. You're like, well, I don't necessarily, do you know where I'm going? I asked for all that. Don't, you know, so it's like leading, asking them, first of all, which is awesome, offering, extending the invitation versus just pulling them into your whole orbit and being like, this is what you're going to do, like, maybe it's more so of a not having a dictator mindset versus a democracy mindset. We're all in this together, having the conversation. Where are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? You know, in the offering, in the suggestion versus it being like, this is what we're going to do and not having that information first. So, yes. And I think there's something called, maybe they do that thing for training with people on jobs, disability, etiquette or something. But, yeah, I think people could definitely take that into consideration. So always think invitation versus the drag.
Right. Ask first.
Yes, ask first.
Okay.
That'll go a long way in life. Yep.
Right. I think for anything.
For anything, right?
Just ask. Don't assume.
Right,
just
don't assume.
You know what they say.
Yep.
So with that being said, do you have any, you know, pet peeves, I guess, when it comes to, you know, the topic of being blind or having low vision or even, you know, mental health as
Okay. Whole. Well, I'll definitely say the biggest pet peeve when it comes to blindness is maybe the concept of incapacity or underestimating either who you are or what you can do. Because just because somebody has a disability or they're blind or they can't see, it's not a can't situation. It's a I can do this, and this is who I am, and this is what I project, and this is my offering to the world. You know, just because there's a limitation doesn't mean there's an incapacity. So that's something that is definitely something that kind of, you know, is like, okay, we kind of got to look at this thing the right way. Just because there's a, like I said, a limitation or something that's lacking, there's so much more abundance in other things. So not making it the responsibility of everybody else to figure out what it is in your own self, but making it the responsibility and taking personal accountability to who you are, to be expressive, share who you are with the world. Don't hide away. Don't, you know, don't not go anywhere. Don't not do anything. Don't not share. Don't, you know, don't hide the gift of who you are because you think that there's something wrong. Like, there's something right because obviously there's something right because you're here. So you have something to give to the world and it's your responsibility to share it. We have to take more personal responsibility instead of, you know, waiting on people to discover us.
Yeah. And it's still, I mean, that goes back to, you know, your comment about perspective, right? You know, don't look at what you can't do. Try and figure out what you can do.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's something for everyone to take. I think we can all take a look at ourselves, you know, and reflect, because we often have that imposter syndrome. You know, we don't feel good enough to do something, or we feel as though we don't have everything that we need to, you know, start that business or, you know, go after that opportunity. But when we look at what we do have, you know, I think that we can see ourselves in much greater light. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Have you had any issues of trust when, you know, as it relates to you having low vision and just, you know, being around individuals that you had to rely on, you know, especially in the beginning?
I guess I'll say maybe not all the time, but definitely when you're going into a new environment, because you don't know where you're going, you don't know who you might encounter, and that's where the aspect of trust kind of gets shaky, because you're like, are you leading? You know, especially at night for me as somebody that can't see. If I don't know where I'm going, I'm like, okay, now I'll give you a real example. So we were at the conference and I'm not going to go, even if somebody does invite me like into their personal, I'm like, I'm not coming with you because I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is. I don't know your intentions. So no, we're gonna remain in a public environment because I don't trust you. You know, I'm just being honest. Like, I'm not just gonna put myself in a situation that's gonna compromise who I am. So, you know, let's keep it public, right? Let's keep it public. I'm not gonna put myself in private situations where I can be taken advantage of, because that's not my intention. I will say that.
So you felt that you've been put in some of those situations before?
Not necessarily, but you still got to be mindful because of the day and time that we're living in. You know, you never know what people have going on in their circumference or their mindset. So just as somebody that's visually impaired, I'll even say that's why I might not use the cane as much, because you might think it makes you a symbol or a target. But as somebody that's kind of learning to grow in learn from others in the blind community, it's like, no, the cane might not make you a target. It actually makes you a symbol of hope and transparency, because people see you out here still trying to make it, still trying to do for yourself or others. And it becomes more of a beacon or a token of light. So that's how I can explain it the best way I can. So what my perception was in me being forthcoming about my blindness, is like, no, that's a good thing. It's not going to make you a target. It's actually going to make you an inspiration for somebody else. So that's what I'm learning as I just recently became a part of the National Federation of the Blind. I'm like, okay, so that's me changing my perspective even in such a short amount of time. So that's really helped me to be around others that, you know, have the same limitations as you, but are also great in their own right. So.
Right. Has there been anyone or maybe a few people that have inspired you during this journey in your life with their, you know, aspirations or the things that they're doing in their lives?
Just in general, let's see. So I got a couple people that inspire me. The first person that comes to mind is, her name is Dr. Lorinda King, and she is a, you know what? No, we're good. She's, I'm going to go back to her, but there's this lady in, she also works in our company, in Mary Kay. Her name is June. So she's out of New York. She's based in Brooklyn, but she also has a disability. I believe she doesn't have the ability to walk or something. So she works in a wheelchair, but she be out there getting it. Like, she's always consistent, like booking her appointments, going to her parties and, you know, just being a viable, you know, just really being about her business. I'm like, well, I got to meet this person because she's awesome. She's always, you know, on the head of her class, at the top of the game. Like, mm-hmm. And her name is June. So she's somebody that's in my circumference that I kind of know about. And I'm like, wow, she's doing really amazing things. Even with a disability, she's doing better than most people. So yeah. It's like amazing. And just to see that personal example. And then also, I mentioned Dr. Lorinda King earlier. She actually has a disability. I think she has dyslexia. You know, there are different stages or levels of, you know, impairment and different things like that. But and even her ability to speak and to motivate and to inspire others. She actually recently just went to, she was able to host a conference called The Pink Bottom Line in Canada. And the company actually, you know, made sure and the people of that nation called for her to come. And it's so amazing because she's somebody that has a disability, has dyslexia, but is still in her creative capacity, being gifted by God, is still able to reach and to communicate on a level that is really going to change hearts and, you know, change generations to come. So those two people come to mind for sure in terms of inspiration and being able to draw, you know, draw light and you know, inspiration from who they are and what they do. So
awesome. Well, with that being said, can you give us some words of wisdom from your own life and experiences that you believe could help and inspire someone else?
Okay, words of wisdom. Let's see. I would just say be joyful in every moment and love people. You know, it's not like a great science equation. It's, you know, gratefulness. It's having a thankful heart, is, you know, rejoicing in every moment and just making the most of every moment. Make memories, you know, smile a lot, you know, laugh a lot. There's going to be some tears in between, but he that sows in tears reaps in joy. So even in those moments of brokenness and embarrassment and, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is my life. You know, this is my situation. This is my current this is my current circumstance, but circumstances change.
Like, yeah. You
know, the reality of life is so, it's a vapor, you know? Mm-hmm. You're here today, gone tomorrow. So just really take a view of eternity. This is just momentary, you know, it's a temporary disguise. It's a veil and we will see one day as we are seen. So fix your eyes on things that are eternal.
Thank you. That's awesome. Well, if anyone wanted to reach you for your business, how can they reach you?
Okay, they could definitely reach out to me on Facebook and on Instagram. Safe Harbor Gallery Safe Harbor Gallery on Instagram. My name, Ashley Ennis, on Facebook, Ashley. Inniss on Facebook. I got a little, pretty little picture of me in a pink jacket on Facebook. So that's my picture. And I definitely look forward to hearing from any individual who may have been touched by this program today. And definitely keep your head up and just stay positive. You know, that's what we can do.
That's so awesome. Well, we're so grateful that you came here today to share your story. You are definitely a light and inspiration. We are glad to have you. We hope that we can have you back. And if you guys want to hear more or know more about Ashley and what she does, we will be featuring her on our Instagram page. That is GARS_org. That's GARRS_org. and you'll be able to listen to this podcast on our website as well at GARS.org. That's GARRS.org. Thank you for tuning in to Eyes and Lows.